Something going on here. What is it? Yeah.
Maliki
McCourt. He's Maliki is on the line. Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Oh, there you are. How are you doing?
Well, I saw the ceiling this morning.
Good.
And when you see the ceiling, you know that you're on for a day. If you don't see the ceiling, you're finished.
Yeah, you don't even get to see the cobwebs or anything. Yeah,
nothing that's there. How are you? Well, good to talk to you, Adrian. Good to talk to you the other day. Anya is looking great.
Yeah.
You, of course, are not, but we'll do something about that.
Yeah, but you might as well tell our listeners the occasion. We got this call from Maria DC, and she's president of the Irish American Writers and Artists Association, and she actually didn't tell me that you were going to be filmed as well. So I was innocent. I'm from, County Mayo, so I'm easily led. And I went there, and I had to wait my turn because there's Maliki McCourt, of course, and rightly so, because as a founder of the Irish American Writers and Artists Association, why not? But first of all, they're making, or I should say, you, the Irish American Writers and Artists, are actually making a film. Is it a promotional film or
a documentary, Adrian?
Oh,
on our members who are either. immigrants or pseudo-immigrants like me.
Mm.
I'm not really an immigrant, as you know, Adrian, because I'm a Brooklyn-born, Greenpoint Hospital, and but you are an immigrant, and you're an artist. So there it is. So the consulate give us a grant, and off we went.
The Irish consulate, yeah.
Yes.
Great. So off you go. You just listed me there as an artist. You know, I've been called many things over the years, and, you know, particularly by you, but I'll take that as a compliment.
Well, Adrian, I don't know anybody that has been on the airwaves as long as yourself, and it's you have always been open to Irish art itself, and to the actors and the painters and the singers, musicians, and just for everybody, and your own facility, your faculty is so good with the radio. It is an art the way you are on the radio for all. And if you weren't good at it, you wouldn't be there. You wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, but I thank you for that. But Maliki, you know, between ourselves, I'm stuck here. I'm trying to make ends meet, and that's not easy. Or so. Anyway, listen, I want to delve a little bit because some people may, in fact, be surprised that my good friend, Maliki McCourt, was born in Brooklyn. And, yes, you were. Now, what took you to Limerick, where you grew up?
Well, my fa- father was from the north of Ireland. My mother was from Limerick. And they met in New York and got married. And they had Frank McCourt, who wrote a book, as you know, and myself.
What was the name of the book again? Yeah, I forget.
Angela Zazzle.
Oh, yeah. That. Oh, that Frank. Okay.
Yeah, that book, yeah. Mm. And and then twins came, and then a little girl. Mm. And the little girl died, and my mother plunged into a deep depression, and she could not recover. So she just sat smoking. That's where Angela's Ashes comes from. And so anyway, there was a group of people who decided that the best way for her to recover might be to go to Ireland. So father, mother, Frank, myself, twins, packed up the bags, got on the ship, went to Ireland. And I was three then. And that's how that happened. And we got to Ireland, and the twins died within a few years, and two more were born, Mike and Alfie. And so they were Irish-born. They were really immigrants, for Frank and myself or not.
Mm.
So that's the story of we came to Ireland.
Yeah. And Malachy, you're clocking up the years, and far be it from me to cast aspersions on that, because I'm right behind you. But you wrote, well, first of all, you've written about at least 24 books on any topic under the sun. And
ten books I've read.
I know about that. I'm counting the ones that were rejected, you know.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But your latest book, anyway, Death Need Not Be Fatal. What prompted you? And has it anything to do with the fact that you're now 9 decades plus of age?
Yes, I'm 90. And well, the thing is that I'm close to, on a daily basis, I'm close to death. I got a disease called IBM. Inclusive body vitis, which inhibits my walking. I can't walk anymore. I'm in a wheelchair, as you might have observed the other day. And it annoys me that I'm not there, because having played rugby for years and always been on the go. But anyway, that's the way it is. So, but when you get to this age, it turns out you're living a day at a time, and that's one thing I have gotten from my membership also in AA, because I stopped drinking about 36 years ago. So it's I do live one day at a time. And but writing a book about death is Edwin, people do not die here in America. They pass away. They're gone. Past what? And who's going to clean it up? And they're no longer with us. And they bought the farm and kicked the bucket and with the arms of Jesus. With God now. And the one that gets me is this. Why is it that they do this R.I.P. requisite in pace, peace. Why should you be doing things like that? Resting. Get out of bed. Walk. You can't. You shouldn't be resting if you're dead. You should be doing some work. I mean, you can, don't be so totally useless lying in coffins. You're silly.
Yeah. You know, I can't let you get away with, you know, playing the poor mouth there, poor me, I can't walk. You seem to be, as every, wherever two or more are gathered, you know, there's Malachy McCourt, and you that yoke that you have, that wheelchair, you know, you could nearly take that over to Coney Island. You could nearly do somersaults with that one. But you don't miss out on much there, my friend. You've gone to and you continue to go to events. You're a very much in-demand speaker. And with all of your books and all of your knowledge, you know, I've known you, you know, a long time, and of course our mutual friend Mike Scanlon, the writer, the actor, you know, who wrote Rolling Up the Rug, but I've known and I've seen your handwriting, and for a good while I thought you were actually writing in the Gaelic language. You, jeez, Malachy. Yeah. Who told you you could write like that? I know you can write, but it's amazing. And just tell us, how do you get into writing? And did anybody ever tell you that you were good at it in the beginning? Because you definitely have had some bestsellers along the way. Where did that come from?
Well, amongst swimming, of course, was the bestseller for the time.
Yeah.
And that's been reissued now. And it was, and that's among the title is Among the Green. You know, when people, with children, you say things like, I led the pigeons to the flag, or lead me into Penn Station. I thought the Hail Mary, when Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou amongst women. And I thought it said a monk swimming.
Oh.
And so that's why I called that book, and that's been reissued now by Welcome Press, by Welcome Rain. And so I hope that people will. It's a rowdy book about my crazy drinking life. But the thing, Adrian, is that I have no formal education. I left school when I was 13. I was so stupid. I failed the primary certificate. And so I went to work as a messenger boy, as did my brother Frank. But the thing was that Carnegie Library came to Limerick, and that's what saved us. And we became, because we had no electricity, or we were very poor. My father deserted us, and this twin, death was there, the twins dying, and all the death around, 11 of my classmates died. And it just was so, poverty was just our daily bread. But when you got to love reading, then you think maybe I might have something to say, and that's what happened. So Frank did the Monk Swimming, Angela's Ashes, and I won the Pulitzer Prize. Then somebody said to me, "You must have a book in you." And I said, "What, do I have a literary bowel movement?" He said, "Stop mucking about. Get on with it." So I did. And I hit the bestseller list, and off we went. So it's very simple, Adrian.
Yeah.
Just, if you want to write, write. And then we founded the Irish Writers to allow for that. And anybody, you don't have to be Irish. It's all you have to do is be want to write. Join us.
It's not only is it interesting, but it can be said, though, that whatever you choose to do in life, you did it, you know, very well. Now, you know, you've mentioned AA, you've mentioned, you know, the drinking days. I didn't realize it was 36 years. But,
yeah.
You know, like some more of us, when you were drinking, you were very good at it. And, you know, when... And, you know, that's, I'm not sure that's a claim to fame. But you owned a pub at one point. And if I remember correctly, you had a great bartender there. He was from Limerick, too. What's his name again? Yeah.
Richard Harris.
Harris, of course. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, he did a bit of acting in his day.
Yeah.
But he decided to give up acting. So he asked me for a job, so I went behind the bar.
Hmm.
And so he was, there he was, serving and serving. And then I was standing at the door, and two elderly ladies who had been in were coming out, and they said, "Yo, you have a very nice bartender, very barman." And I said, "Yes, thank you." They said he was very kind. He gave us a bottle of Dom Perignon. And he didn't charge us. Hmm. Oh, I said, really? Yeah. But anyway, I didn't realize. So I found out anyway, he wasn't charging anybody. He was just giving it away. But the other bartender, Jack, when Harris, he decided then, he was fed up of bartending. That lasted a few weeks. He went off. And when he left, my other bartender, Jack, handed me an envelope. And there was $2,700 in the envelope, a check. And it was for what he had given away, which I thought was very neat.
Oh, my God. How about
yeah.
that? And, of course, you were... you know Richard Harris, indeed, and very well, and you collaborated on a number of movies and plays. Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah. Now, your movie career, too, what brought you, and how is that crossover? You're an actor, you're a born actor, so say some, and... you know, to get movie and to get movie roles, what was that link, would you say?
Well, it after a while, I mean, my acting career started with me. I was working on the docks, a longshoreman. And I just went to the theater one night. I wanted to see these three Irish plays. And they were run by Dermot McNamara and Heather Carroll, producing. I didn't know them then. But I went in, and I was entranced by the plays, by John Millington saying. And I came out of the theater, and I was thought, Jesus, it'd be great to be an actor. So I went back in. And I talked to the guy that was standing there. I said, "Who's the boss? I'd like to join your group," says I thought that's how you did it. But here was a professional off Broadway. And he said, "Do you have any experience?" And I said, "Oh, no, I know." I said, "I wouldn't need it. I'm Irish." And he said, "Do you have a picture?" "I do," I said. "I have a picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus autographed in my wallet." And he laughed again. And then he said, "Do you want to audition? Do you read for us?" he said. So I said, "Sure, I can read." I thought, I didn't know it was an audition. I didn't know the word, as a matter of fact. So I came back the following Sunday, after a few gargles, and I read for them. And they cast me. Somebody was leaving. I was 60 or 60, 68 years ago.
Hmm.
So that's how I started. So then what happened, Adrian, was a guy named Tom O'Malley heard my story, and he put me on the Tonight Show with Jack Parr.
Wow.
And that catapulted me. And so I used to go around the corner to a Park Lavin's after the show, and people started pouring in there.
Hmm.
And then a couple of guys asked me if I wanted to open my own bar, and that's how we opened Manatee's.
Oh.
Four singles bar. So it was all very meteoric, Adrian. And then somebody asked me, would I like to do radio? So I did that on WMCF. And then I ran for governor. I said, just about anything that I wanted to do, I did.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of fun.
And yeah, running for governor of New York, that's... But you lost, though. And you lost to a Democratic candidate, Elliot Spitzer, and I'm going to personally invite you not to go there, you know, but...
Well, you know what happened to him.
Now, Malachi, can you just tell us, please, about the Irish-American writers and artists, of which, of course, you were a founder. Tell us a little bit about that. Who are your, you know, who are your writers? How does one qualify to join the Irish American writers and artists?
Well, T.J. English and I'm trying to go back now about 10 years. Being 90, the memory is not that great. But the whole idea is, anyway, that we have, I came up with the idea that we would have these salons. So, anyway, if you think you're a writer, if you think you're a singer, if you think you're an artist, jewelry maker, anything to do, it's the Irish American Writers and Artists. And you can get IAWA and get it up there with that computer thing and just join up. And it's very inexpensive, and it's you get a chance to show your work. And that's all there is. So we have the salon. We have a group of marvelously, Mary Adisi heads our board.
Yeah.
And we have the salons just about monthly.
Yeah.
We hadn't had it for a while, but we're okay now.
Yeah, you also have, and this is how one gets into trouble, as you know, if you single out some people. But, you know, you have Larry Kerwin, who now has, a Broadway show.
Marvelous show, yes.
Isn't it? I mean, he's something else. But I've been to a couple of your salon, your meetings, and you meet the most amazing, it's a cross-section of great people that you wouldn't meet, you know, regularly. And it's interesting, it's fine, and, you know, the qualifications for membership are not stringent, and I say that tongue-in-cheek because, again, as you said, anybody is welcome to join. Listen, it's fantastic, Maliki. I am delighted, as always, you know, to have you as a guest in our program. I know you have a bit of a cold there too. And
yes, I know, yeah.
So I'm going to step back from the microphone here, lest I catch anything from you.
But I want to also pay a tribute to my friend John McDonough, who is a marvelous broadcaster. We do.
Super.
I'm still doing the radio myself on Sundays with John McDonough on WBAI, if you don't mind us. Me plugging.
I was going to keep, like, you know, I was going to keep the best wine until the last, because it's a fantastic program, and WBAI is a very, let's say, liberal station. And, like, for instance, with all due respect to you, Maliki, you actually belong there. You know, unlike...
But also, John wrote a play about his life as a cab driver. And that was produced recently. Was that the Irish Rep? And
yeah.
And it went south down to either 80. It's off the meter with Marvel's play.
Yeah.
It'll be done in Ireland now in a few months. Next month. Few months. Yeah. So anyway, we're keeping going, Adrian.
Yeah, I'm sorry to cut in here, but you would have no problem doing the same to me. So I'm just he as a cab driver, and I know that listeners in Ireland would know that for years, if you want to talk about creativity, here is somebody who, as a cab driver, brought regular reports to RTE, to radio in New York. And it was, you know, such a tremendous, it was like a breath of fresh air coming across the Atlantic. A wildly interesting character, and continues to be. And that's, again, here is the actual plug. It's WBAI, friends, and it's on Sunday mornings while most of us are at mess. And it's at what time is it? It's at 11,
it's
is
11,
it?
11 a.m.
Yeah. And you know, not that I'm in any position to complain, but you it's not just a... You know, it's not just a small time slot. You fellas go on and on. You know, it's terrific. But like I say, that's exactly where you belong. If there were, you know, because WNYC back in the day, in the 70s, you know, they thought you were safe enough to go on what was, at that time, you know, the largest, biggest station in New York. But how do we put this now gently? But you blotted your copybook, one might say. You settled for that, would you?
Many, many times. They felt that, Adrian, just one thought, which is, there is no such thing as bad language.
Mm.
There's only bad usage.
Ah.
But they didn't agree with me. They think there is bad language. And so my language was offensive. And my thoughts are offensive as well. So there we are. What can we do about that?
Yeah, well, try not to drag me down with you, because...
Free speech is on the order of the day.
And, you know... In hindsight, here's a backhanded compliment. Didn't radio come around to, you know, where it is? And God knows, if you were in Ireland, you can pretty much say anything you want on
that is
radio.
Right.
you know.
Yeah.
And you've gone back to Ireland so many times, and you've been hosted, particularly in Limerick.
Yeah. Well, they made a musical of Angela's Ashes, so we went. Diana and I went back for that.
Yeah.
And that was great, and it was an amazing show. And their radio interviewed me, and it was a triumphant return, you might say.
It's great. And also, for those, you know, who might have during the Christmas season, it's almost as popular as The Quiet Men. We can't get through Christmas, you know, without having that lovely program. It's supposed to be for kids, but we all enjoy it.
Angela's Christmas.
Yeah, Angela's Christmas.
Yeah, the animated film, half an hour, which I narrated.
I know, and it's good. Well, you're still going strong, and may that be the case for many years to come. And again, as a good friend, as a dear friend, it's always a pleasure to welcome you to the program.
And to you, Adrian, and to Anya, continued success on your weekly forays into the air. I was so glad to see you, because it's been so long.
I know.
Anya is looking terrific.
Yeah, you said that before now. That's enough.
So well done.
Yeah. Thank you. And as I say, for somebody, you know, who, you know, is supposed to be or who pretends to be so confined, let me tell you, you get around. And it's always a pleasure to see you. And in terms of a following, my God, you know.
Every policeman in New York knows me.
Yeah.
That's my following. Follow by the law.
Malachy, good luck. All right, thanks again.
Okay. Blessings on your magnificent cranium.
Thank you. Malachy McCourt, friends. You know, a character, absolutely, if there ever was one, and a highly, really talented actor, you know, and again, in his own right. I meant to say while Malachy was with us there that he was, in addition to having a wildly successful career on radio in WNYC and WMCA. By the way, he was thrown out of both of those, but he has such, you know, again, a tremendous sense of humor. And I think nobody would take that away from him, but he's a great guy. But he came into, he was co-hosting my program way, probably going back into the 70s and the 80s. And when I would go to Ireland or if, you know, at that time, live broadcasts internationally were few and far between. But Malachy and my son Paul would host the programs, and it was great. It was terrific, and you know. So if I could be in Ireland for a couple of weeks, and then I'd come back, and there would be, oh my God. Such reaction to Malachy. Most of the letters, there was no email at that time, but most of the letters and the phone calls we got, you know, were saying, how do you get that fella off? So it worked out well for both of us. couldn't get him off, and there's no sign of him getting off anything right now. He's very good. Okay.